It was July 1861. The Civil War had been going on for a couple of months. And people in Washington, D.C. heard that there was going to be a battle right outside of the little town of Manassas in Virginia. And so they loaded up their carriages and their wagons and they traveled across the Potomac to the little area here north of Manassas. They gathered up on this hill and they prepared to see a battle take place. And it was very interesting. Like, there were people from Congress who were here and they brought their families. And it was known as the picnic battle because these families came with their picnics and decided that they were going to eat. That all changed once the battle commenced. They realized this was a bad idea. See, they had thought they were going to come watch a quick show of force. The Union soldiers were going to defeat the Confederacy, and before long, the Confederacies was going to surrender and the war would be over. They thought that this was going to happen. Peace would come quickly. But soon they realized peace was not going to be so easy. Good morning, Fairfax. You know, we really have to stop meeting like this. I mean, social distancing is one thing, but this is a whole new level. Hey, we're just thankful that you're here. Hopefully you're at home, staying safe and healthy, and you're with your family. If this isn't your first time, or you're watching online, dang it, we always say that each week, but really, we're so thankful that you're here, because all of you are watching online. I just want you to know that we are working really hard to make sure that our online content is going to be available to you with Right Now Media. Next week, Phil and I are going to sit down and have an interactive time on Sunday morning where you can talk and add comments. Perhaps this past 2 weeks you've witnessed some long lines at stores, empty shelves, panic. And we ourselves get caught up in the scramble to grab supplies and stay healthy and well. See, peace is definitely something that we need at this moment and desperately desire, but we don't have it. Anxiety, worry, stress are killing us. You feel that way? Perhaps you keep seeing the numbers of this virus that are climbing and the deaths and the tolls that are taking place, and it's scary. As we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, we read these words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I wonder what the disciples understood that to mean when they first heard Jesus say those words. What thoughts were going through their head? See, the Jews were looking for a Messiah who would come in power and who would win the day. The Messiah, they thought, was to be a military Messiah, a nationalistic Messiah. He would come and he would set himself up as king, and the Jews would be put as the supreme people again. He would take them out of bondage and remove the enemy and set them above everyone else. This is what they had seen happen. They had seen this model. The hated Romans and their empire did bring a kind of peace. It was founded on violence and the brutal squashing of all dissent. It was a peace that was constantly held in check by the Roman cross. It was an instrument of violence and humiliation. And the Romans achieved their peace by identifying their enemies, and they would fight them until the enemies gave up. It was a forced peace, and it was one that didn't last. Why? Because it really wasn't peace at all. Perhaps you've heard the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. And it's not so much about the absence of conflict or force, but it's of wholeness, completion, completeness. It's a word that means restoration. See, true peace isn't talking about everything being great and trouble-free on the outside. It's talking about an incredible, miraculous peace that's given to us by our faith in Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, regardless of the storms that are on the outside. One of my favorite preachers, Randy Harris, defines spiritual maturity this way. He says, spiritual maturity is when one acts from the peace of God within as opposed to reacting to everything and everyone else around them. It's the inside acting rather than the outside reacting. See, just like the previous Beatitudes, this Beatitude isn't meant to be something that we have on the inside and we keep to ourselves and, oh, warm and fuzzy. Jesus particularly uses the word peacemakers. See, it's something we make. It requires effort. So it was a small town football team, and there was a guy on the team named Calhoun. Maybe you've heard this before. And Calhoun never got to play. He was more like the water boy. And it was the last game of the season. It was the last game of his senior year of high school. Their team was up by 50 points. It was a blowout. And at the very end of the game, they had the ball, and one of the players got injured. Well, all of a sudden, Calhoun's parents are sitting in the stands, and they say, "Give Calhoun the ball!" And of course, they kept chanting this. Well, everyone around them in the stands joined in and chanted, "Give Calhoun the ball! Give Calhoun the ball!" And Calhoun's parents started something that not only erupted in their stands, but it erupted in the other team's stands too. They didn't know who Calhoun is, but they're saying, "Give Calhoun the ball!" And then the cheerleaders jump into it, "Give Calhoun the ball, hey!" And they're cheering, and the players are on the sidelines going, "Give Calhoun the ball!" And so they pull into a huddle, and Calhoun gets on the field, and they get into the huddle, and they're, "Give Calhoun the ball, give Calhoun the ball!" And the quarterback comes out of the huddle, and he quiets the crowd down, and he says, "Calhoun says he doesn't want the ball." See, peacemaking is different than peacekeeping. Peacekeepers maintain the status quo. Peacekeepers don't want to offend anyone. Peacekeepers don't want to rock the boat. They just want to sit on the sidelines and watch the battle without actually doing anything to stop it. But peacemaking is different. Peacemaking doesn't mean being nice or tolerant. It's an active entrance into the middle of warring parties for the purpose of creating reconciliation and peace. See, the peacemaker seeks to reconcile, not by pretending that there aren't differences or by suppressing those differences. The peacemaker reconciles by creating a love of the other person that transcends these differences or permits the people to join hands in spite of differences. See, peacemakers want the ball. We reflect Jesus to a world in chaos, and rather than run from it, we bring the gospel of peace. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or even in our world. We are called to be ambassadors of peace. We represent a king and a kingdom, and it's not a kingdom that's going to get its way because we have louder voices or bigger wallets or larger guns or more toilet paper. It's a kingdom where lambs face wolves and they speak peace. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." And that word "sons" was used in the Jewish world to connect a person with an attribute or a person. It's an adjective almost. For example, we've recorded in the book of Acts that Barnabas is referred to as son of encouragement. Now, that's not something we would say much now. We would just say he's an encouraging person. But when Jesus says peacemakers are sons of God, he means that they are a God-like person, a person who is like God. And we see in Scripture that God is the God of all peace. Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. See, we make peace by being like God. So what does that mean? In his letter to the Colossians, Paul tells them that Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. Paul says that Jesus gave himself so that you and I might be at peace with God, and that we might have peace within, and that we would have peace with one another. At last, what was broken, the relationship between God and humans, would be restored to wholeness. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we were enemies, and yet Jesus stepped into the conflict to reconcile us to God and to each other. See, peacemakers step into the mess. Peacekeepers avoid it. It makes them uncomfortable. Peacemakers actively seek reconciliation. This is what Paul means in 2 Corinthians when he says that we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given the mission of Jesus as people of God to reconcile people to God and to reconcile people to each other. So how can we effectively be peacemakers, especially in the midst of the coronavirus? I'd love to hear your comments. Like, write your comments or ideas that you have down how we can be effective peacemakers. I know that Philippians chapter 4 tells us, number one, don't be anxious about anything. And that's really hard right now, right? But as peacemakers, we can do that by spending time in prayer and presenting our requests to God. And the peace of Christ will guard our hearts and our minds. Jesus, in the Last Supper, he's celebrating the Passover with his disciples, and they don't know it, but he's about to be beaten, betrayed, crucified. And he says these words, "Peace I leave you." Not peace like the world gives, but my peace I give to you. Let your hearts
not be troubled. He says, you know, don't be afraid. In this world, you're going to have many troubles. And if you're waiting for life's troubles to be over, to have peace, you're never going to have peace. If you're waiting for no coronavirus, you're never going to have peace. Something is always going to happen. And Jesus says, but I say these things to you so that you may have peace. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Brothers and sisters, let not your hearts be troubled, but let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Today, as we engage online, I would love to hear your comments and love to hear your suggestions. What are some ways that we can be peacemakers, people who step in the gap between two warring parties and bring them together in reconciliation? I'd love to hear your comments and love to engage in conversation today. May the peace of Christ rule in your hearts as you teach and admonish one another in all things. God bless.